Hello, everybody. My name is Solomon Thomas. Welcome to Loyola Sports Report, where we go over the top takes on the top sports stories of today. We're going to be going over three topics on the three major leagues, of course. We're going to go over the MLB, NBA, NFL. NFL is going to be the biggest story because of course, the Super Bowl yesterday. So we're going to get right into it. The baseball season is off-season is going through its more slower movements, more smaller transfers, transactions, movements, roster movements going around. And the biggest story that is coming out now is just the proceedings of Ipe Mizuhari, Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter, going through his gambling case at the moment. The proceedings are moving quite slowly as more information is coming out. While it's pretty undeniable about where this probably will all end up, it's probably more of the bigger sort of indictments upon, like, I wouldn't say Shohei's like legacy to really say, because, well, a lot of that has been cemented already, but it's drawing a lot of eyes and ears, and gambling in sports, it's always going to be a pretty hot topic with this huge sports betting push that's going around in major sports nowadays. And really not much more to say about it. Ipe was somebody that Shohei obviously trusted, and behind the lines there seemed to be a lot of stuff going on that people didn't really know about, even when Ipe himself kind of confessed that he himself had a gambling problem as well. But I feel like in terms of how this might affect the Dodgers going forward, I don't think it'll play that much into it at all. There's always going to be sports speculation, controversy, the likes and the such. And while I don't really think much is really going to come out of it besides, you know, Ipe going to be indicted upon what he has done, it should really be of no big issue to the Dodgers. And we could always talk a lot more about how, like, in kind of sports betting, you know, gambling has gotten its, like, its hold on sports, and in a surprisingly, not surprisingly, in hindsight, it's been going on for a few years, but to see it really be up in front, it's always going to be a topic of conversation. But it's not really something to delve on here. In terms of NBA story, the biggest, of course, still continues to be, we're coming off of the last dredges of the Luka AD trade. I'm pretty sure anybody who watched the last episode will know my comments, know my own thoughts about the issue. And what has been come more to light is thought processes behind ownership. And what we, anybody who's done any bit of research or really following anybody covering the trade and the details, knows that under the new management of the Mavericks in regards of what could possibly have fueled this decision, a lot of people are eyeing up the owner, the family of owners that are currently have majority control of the Mavericks, of their ties to casinos, Las Vegas casinos, and talks about what they're planning to do with the Mavericks and what they're trying to really do here with such a humongous and unexpected move, like trading away somebody like Luka. Well, of course, it's not safe to say, you know, what are the intentions of ownership. It's not safe to say how it's only been, you know, it's only been a week of everything going past, all the things going on. And we can never really say, no matter how many people want to speculate. But the main speculation going on, and it's something that Mavericks fans are feeling like a lot more now as they gain more information, is about purposefully trying to bring the Mavericks to a place like Vegas. To make a move like that, or to to do these actions seem kind of, it can only be seen as something negative, like you're trying to, might be purposefully bringing down your own team for possibly tanking it, possibly looking in order to relocate it. These things are always going to be in the back of the mind and sometimes front of mind for a lot of Mavericks fans in terms of this, because of all the hype and the trust and the love, honest to God love, of Luka suddenly being extremely bittersweet with his departure and this giant uproar of the fans honestly believing that the owners may not just be in it for the love of the team and trying to make the team the best, but for reasons of money. And I don't know, people who also might do be kind of versed in baseball know that baseball has this issue as well. The reason why one of my takes, especially on the Dodgers more, you know, flashy and honestly overwhelming moves in the offseason and the paces that they've taken ever since they signed Shohei for his huge and mostly deferred till the last years of his career contract, is in my eyes, I feel like the owners of all the baseball teams in the MLB are sort of coasting off of a league that has no salary cap and no salary floor, and they are allowed to make money passively, and there is no real incentive to change or real no incentive to try to make your team better or look to, you know, fix ownership. And there are a lot of teams that feel this way, especially the Angels, who currently, when you really look at it from like a wide view, had their hands on two generational players, one of the two of the most skilled baseball players the league has ever seen, in Mike Trout for all of his prime years, his accolades, his skill. No more needs to be said. He's probably one of the best of his caliber, five tool players in his absolute peak, probably the best league has ever seen in a long while. And Shohei, a more raw looking talent in his years at LA, slowly solidifying into something much more spectacular, especially his MVP season. To do all that and to become the face of the league in such a short time, the Angels fans have a definite feeling of distrust and distaste to the current higher managing of the Angels, not really understanding or liking how the team just seems to be going nowhere. And a lot of sports teams who are currently in a state of mediocrity or just honest to God, just not being good teams, feel that way. And there will always be this sort of mindset of ownership and managerial duties always being kind of looked down upon, because we all want our teams to win. You know, we all want our teams to do better. And we look at the moves that these, you know, people who own the teams are making, and we're wondering, do you actually, you know, care for the game? Do you actually care to make the team be better? And as a Commanders fan, I've sort of had like a multifaceted perspective in that. In all of my years being a Redskins fan, well, oh my God, I'm saying Redskins now, but that was what they were as I grew up. Looking back at it now, the team always being in this sort of limbo between just like just mid and sometimes bad. And later on, as I got older and more mature and more understanding, you know, who Dan Snyder was and the history behind the moves that Washington has made from a managerial overlooking standpoint over the years, definitely put a sour taste in my mouth. And everybody, you know, saying praise the second that the Snyder family decided to, you know, sell the team off. And to have that happen and the first year of our prospective rebuild going as good as it did, you know, our QB1 currently rookie of the year, JD5, my GOAT, having that in our first year, it is a euphoric feeling. Even with some of the more blind spots, the downfalls we faced over the year, we were not expecting to really get this far at the first year of the experiment, which I'm being quite wary of, because this year may not have been, it may not have been too much of a sort of true analytical look at what this team really is. And I'm not too sort of sold on this idea that we're now just constant contenders now. But what I do believe is that we have something here. And the managing team has shown that they are willing to win, and they are willing to bring a winning culture to Washington, to a team that's been a long time since it's seen greatness. And they're putting all their eggs behind Jaden Daniels, and I'm happy that they are. He's shown to be young, energetic. He has shown a general love for the game, and I'm very, 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 very excited about what he's going to do in later years, and I'm very excited about what this new revamped team is going to do with this new outlook and this real want to win and be something. And this year could be the sign that, yeah, we're back. And it's always exciting. And to have that feeling just kind of drives home how important it is to really to sort of look at that dichotomy of, you know, sports ownership, sports management, especially with teams who have pretty much known no, you know, victory or no, you know, productive, good, exciting season in a while now. Giants fans feeling a lot this year, watching their running back whose prime was, I think it's safe to say, not put to that good use in his years with the Giants, now signing with a division rival who just won the Super Bowl. It has got to sting. It has got to sting. And I didn't necessarily want the Eagles to win. They're still the Eagles, so I'd literally rather just us be there, of course, but hey, we didn't make it. But yeah. And of course, speaking on the Eagles, speaking of football, they did it. Made it all the way to the Super Bowl. They whooped us. They whooped us on their way there. They won. They beat the Chiefs, putting 40 whole points on their head, 40-22. And my predictions for the game were pretty wrong, honestly. I correctly assumed that the Kansas City Chiefs were going to harp on really hard on Saquon. And for good reason as well. Explosive runner, best running back in the league behind the most effective offensive line. The Eagles have always had a penchant for having a extraordinary offensive line that can be built around pretty easily. And to have Saquon back there and to do as much as he did this year, he was definitely going to be, in my eyes, the biggest issue the Chiefs faced. And they dealt with him pretty handily, but it did seem like they sort of faltered everywhere else. And here we bring up the de facto Super Bowl MVP, Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts ended the game off actually being the one to lead the Eagles in rushing yards. Mr. Hurts, looking at 17 for 22 on passing, 221 yards, two touchdowns, one interception, two sacks, 11 rushing attempts, 72 yards, and a rushing TD. He showed up and showed out. And the Eagles did a really, really good job at sort of making their strengths outside of Saquon more known. Devontae Smith, Brown, Jahan Dotson, former Washington drafted player. They did an insanely good job at covering that sort of blind spot and making good on it. Always kept the Chiefs defense, guessing. Having a mobile quarterback really does that. And it seemed to be they did a really good job at sort of demoralizing that team as the game went on. I was just looking stupid when halftime rolled around before, of course, K-Dot's amazing grade-A performance. Just 24-0 as the halftime, came in. I was always going to be skeptical because it's the Chiefs. You never know. Patrick Mahomes likes to pull out magic sometimes and, ref ball and all that. But nope, it was a honestly well-officiated game, and really not much to look at it. In hindsight, it was a sort of, like, games like this, which are, like, honestly well-officiated, it was kind of sort of, like, unremarkable in how seamless of a football game it was. Yeah, they went ahead. They went out there with the mission, with a good game plan. They took care of it. Patty Mahomes looked kind of sloppy, but I honestly think that he sort of gave it his all. I think where it all sort of fell apart on offense, when you look at it, I'm pretty sure he was sacked. Patrick Mahomes sacked six times. The offensive line in the trenches were definitely the more bigger spots of worry and work, sort of all that impact was coming from. Patrick Mahomes not really getting too much time. Of course, tried to make plays where he could, but nothing much could come of it. I'm pretty sure when halftime came around, they had less than 20, 30 net yards overall the drives that they took in the first half, which was crazy. Seeing this Chiefs team, and I think we could all sort of hand that to a very well-faceted defense and a honest God, lovable, enjoyable, exciting defensive, an exciting secondary. Cooper DeJean, he showed out. Winyon Mitchell, big play slay. They all showed out yesterday, and it was sort of kind of surreal to see how smothering it was. And by the time third quarter came around, it just seemed to like nothing hot was going to be coming off of Mahomes' hand. He threw two picks, actually. Yeah, it was sort of jarring to see a team it's always been hyped up to sort of fall in such a sharp fashion. And I think when people look back at it, it was always those one score, single digit deficit wins that they got that probably should have spelled sign that they weren't as sharp as they were, you know, advertised to be. Them beating the Bills, despite, of course, you know, all controversies about officiating aside, they did good out there that game. But it might have been a sign that something was up, that they weren't exactly as much of a powerhouse as, you know, they seem to be, or the Eagles were just that good. And honestly, I might be leaning towards the latter more than the former. I don't really want to. The Chiefs are still a really good team, you know. Controversy and identity aside, they're here for a reason. They are generally a good team with good coaching, but I think the Eagles just came in and they just were better. And truth remains, defense wins championships, and they held the Chiefs down to only 22 points. Not as much of a shootout as it could have been, especially since, you know, the Eagles still put up 40. It was pretty unexpected to see such lopsidedness. Congratulations all Philly fans. I've got a few friends close by me who are very, very excited to, you know, have another ring under the belt in such short time, especially after a huge run with Nick Foles a few years back. Overall, very exciting. Very exciting halftime show. Kendrick went out, he performed, so did SZA. It was shorter than I thought it was going to be, but the obvious messaging, the music, it was a good Super Bowl halftime show. Can't really complain there. In terms of where we're really going to be next year, and this is more personal aside, you know, because when you're looking at the Super Bowl, you know, Eagles defense came out and achieved, offense pulled through, put a lot, just great football all around. What I'm really going to be talking about, especially, like, you know, Commanders-wise, is this is going to be a really, really exciting offseason. Got a lot of big names being thrown around. Myles Garrett has requested a trade. He is very, very aware of the Browns' current state as of now, and his state of career, because he was drafted back in 2017, which is, it's still bizarre. It's crazy. Him being drafted like 20 all those years ago. It's But got Myles Garrett. It's gonna be I think it's really gonna be a good sign of where a few teams are gonna go around are gonna be going on as the season off season, you know, sort of rolls in. Micah Parsons as well. I'd say that in overall this football season, I'd say probably the most excited that I've been since, you know, last year. Last year was really exciting, but seeing this year, you know, Washington being a big part, I'd say it was very exciting. A lot of really cool narratives, a lot of really cool teams to really run behind. So many things going on, you know, the Lions, you know, topping over their already pretty energetic run through from last season. Being, you know, sort of coming back to being a very dominant team and playing the way that they did over the regular season was pretty awesome. Sam Darnold's sort of resurgence with the very, very fun to watch Vikings as well. Aaron Rodgers' stint with the Jets that is apparently coming to end, you know, very, very soon. This was probably the most excited and tapped in I've been to football in a while. Baseball, I've always been, you know, in the main grasp ever since the pandemic, but this year made me really, 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 you know, lock into it. And I'd say this was a pretty, pretty good season. Of course, you know, obvious negatives. The biggest, of course, and it'll probably always will be, is officiating, something that all teams, you know, have problems with. I wouldn't say baseball has too much of a problem with it. Like umpires will always be the sort of cultural, you know, it'll always be its own thing in baseball. But especially, you know, in the NBA and in the NFL, there's always going to be talks, you know, about, you know, sort of integrity and refereeing and how that, you know, ties into sports betting, gambling. We're saying that a lot, but it is very obviously a big part of what we're going through in sports. But honestly, outside of that, I think it was a great football season. You know, very great to watch. A lot of really things to look forward to this season and the season coming, especially as a Commanders fan. I'm really gushing about, you know, having a winning team for the first time in a long, long while. We normally ever really get small victories. We've got a pretty big one this season. Great to see. Thank you for coming to the Loyola Sports Report. This is Solomon Thomas. Thank you for tuning in. See you next time. Peace.